You know, if you want to watch a certain side of the news, you look at certain channels. If you want to look at the other side of the news, you look at different channels. Same way with newspapers, different channels of the paper. Different papers have different slants, different biases. And sometimes we get in the church and we do the same thing. We only have our own slant, and sometimes we miss part of the truth. It's not that the truth is changed, it's that we just don't tell part of it. Many churches no longer even give an invitation. Some that do just say, come join the church. Or come accept Jesus. But sometimes we leave out part of that truth. I want us to look at about 6 or 8 verses. We're going to read them all at one time. Starting with Matthew chapter 3. And I think you're going to notice before we get done that one word keeps popping up. Beginning at Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 2 verses of Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, this is his sermon topic, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right, turn over a chapter to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now turn over to the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter. We're going to read the first few verses of the 13th chapter of Luke. And I'll get there eventually. It's amazing. It's amazing how thin these pages are getting, or how fat my fingers are. I don't know what you mean. There were at present, verse 1 and following, there were at present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, sort of keep your hand there, and then, because we're going to come back to the 15th chapter in a minute, but going over to Acts 2. Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 38. Well, let's go with 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now I go over to Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1, Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. And then back to Luke 15, verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. See the word that keeps popping up? Repent. Repent. Repentance. John preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. When they got all upset and wanted to know what was going on after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, you got to repent. The writer of Hebrews said the foundational doctrine of Christianity is repentance. And Jesus said that the one thing that brings a party in heaven is repentance. Over and over and over again, the New Testament, when it talks about our relationship with God, talks about repentance. It's the door to salvation. It's the door to heaven. Repentance. Now, I realize that that's not a popular idea today. You go to the average person and you start talking about repentance. They say, what for? I haven't done anything to repent of. What about your lifestyle? Well, I was born this way. Or I chose to be this way. Or I'm this way because my mama and my papa spanked me when I was 4 days old or something, you know. Or I had a bad teacher in the first grade or, you know, repentance. What do I need to repent for? I haven't done anything wrong. And so many people would say, oh, there's all roads to God. It doesn't matter which road to God you're on. Just choose your road and just keep getting it. Well, you know, that's great if you're on the right road. But if I want to go to Albemarle, I best not get out here somewhere and go down through 138 and down somewhere that other direction. I can drive till I run into the ocean and never reach Albemarle. Repentance is important. And somehow we don't get it. Somehow our generation has not gotten the idea that we are accountable for the way we live. You remember about four years ago when there were the police shootings and there were all of the riots and everything in all of the downtowns, you know, in several places, and such a big deal that the media made over it. Somebody put on Facebook a picture, and I probably don't have this exactly right, but here's this big guy standing, and he's got at least it's a poster board side, maybe it's two poster boards together. And he says on it something like this: just because I use my gun to rob you doesn't give you the right to shoot me. And I'm thinking, what planet are you from, son? I can name several people in this church. somebody breaks into their house with a gun, you are going to shoot them. And it's not just guys. I had a church lady in my church, and I won't say which church, but her husband died. She lived back off the road. You went to visit her. She showed up with her little knitting bag. Looked like she had her knitting in it. But she also had her pistol in it too. She didn't go to her door without that bag over her arm. And she would not have hesitated to use it. But see, we live in a world that doesn't understand holy God. The Bible says God is holy. And you know, so often in our generation, the evolutionists have so taught our children and our grandchildren that I don't believe there is a God. Much less that I'm going to have to stand before Him to give an account for my life. But what does the Bible keep saying? Moses, take off your shoes. That's holy ground. Don't let the children of Israel come up and touch the Mount Sinai or they shall die. Ananias and Sapphira broke the law of God and died on the spot in the New Testament. Isaiah saw the angels flying around saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Holy. And holy God and sinful man can't get together any better than you could take a sheet of notebook paper and throw it into a fireplace that's got a roaring fire in there and expect that sheet of notebook paper to last more than just a second or two. Except the only way holy God can accept sinful man is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sin. Amen. And we have to repent. We have to repent of our sin, our affront to God. We have to repent of everything that is wrong. God, I've sinned. I've done this, this, and this. God, I have violated your commandments. God, I have sinned. God, I can't save myself. I need you as Savior. You know, sometimes we think of repentance as some old drunk up here at the altar slobbering and crying and weeping and trying to get right with God. And that's a picture of repentance. But repentance can also be a dry-eyed person walking down the aisle and saying, "You know, I know I messed up. I've not lived for the Lord. And I give my heart to the Lord. I confess that I am a sinner and I need Jesus." Repentance. Now, listen, please understand, repentance is not remorse. Remorse is feeling sorry. Usually it means feeling sorry that you got caught. I mean, the media is full of politicians and preachers and educators and coaches and movie stars and singers that are full of remorse because they got caught messing up. And now they're doing jail time. But remorse is not repentance. I could probably fill this church up with folks that are full of remorse if they were all still alive. You know how it is? As a preacher, you go visit them in the hospital. "Preacher, I hadn't lived for the Lord. But this trip to the hospital, whether it was accident, sickness, disease, surgery, this thing has opened my eyes. And preacher, from now on, every time the doors of the church are open, I'm going to be there." Heard that before, who, haven't you, brother? Well, they get out of the hospital. 1 week goes by, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by. You hadn't seen them yet. So you go see them and they say, "Brother, I thought you were planning on being a little more faithful." "Well, I'm still recovering." 5 years later, they must still be recovering. Now they can go over far from here to the Bahamas, but they can't get back to church. That's remorse. They had some feelings of sorrow that they hadn't lived right, but they didn't change. And that happens often. I was reading this week of this guy's probably not quite as old as I am, but he talked about, you know, he's one of those kids that his family was always there. And he said, you know, every year at the revival week, altar would be full of people crying and using boxes of tissue and weeping and sobbing, and you never saw them again until next year when they were at the altar crying and weeping and sobbing and using another box of tissues. And then the next year they're at the altar crying and weeping and sobbing and using another box of tissues, but you never saw them in between revivals. That's remorse. That's not repentance. Repentance is a change of life, a choice. The King James uses an unfortunate translation when he talks about Judas. He says, you know, after Judas betrayed Jesus and he saw what was happening, the King James says he repented and then went out and hung himself. The word, Greek word there is actually Judas had remorse. It didn't go like he thought it was going to go. Somehow or another, he felt a little sorrow and he went out and hung himself. Now, Peter, who denied the Lord, he repented and became a great apostle. Now, that's the difference. One had remorse, the other had repentance. And genuine repentance is a total change of life. I'm going in this direction, and all of a sudden I realize this is away from God, and so I'm going to turn around and I'm going to follow God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give up this sinful lifestyle and I'm going to live this godly lifestyle. Now, please understand, most of us don't get from one to the other without a little wobble. You know, I met a few people that were going this way. You know, Paul was pretty much that way. I mean, when he turned around, Paul turned around. But you know, even Peter wobbled a few times. You remember in one of Paul's letters, he said, I had to withstand Peter to his face because he got a little wishy-washy on some doctrine. But the general direction is, I've turned from a life that was going away from God and a life of sin, and I've turned to a life of serving God and facing God and continuing to live for Him. And if I wobble a little bit, then I get myself back on course. And folks, it's not just at the moment we accept the Lord. There are times we may need to repent all the way down the road. And sometimes we think, yeah, repent, you know. But preacher, I hadn't committed adultery and I hadn't got drunk and I don't take drugs. You get mad at anybody? Don't forgive somebody? Act up? You know, there's a lot of times we need to turn around and say, Lord, I just messed up. And I repent of the way I acted in that situation, or what I said to that person, or how I... Well, you ever feel in the Holy Spirit saying, you need to witness to that person, and you didn't? Need to repent of that. Ever set a bad example before an unbeliever? Need to repent of that. And we may need to repent a number of times between salvation and glory, but it all salvation starts with repentance. A repentance that says, God, I've been going against you. Now I come to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. Sometimes when our missionaries go into other cultures, if they're not careful, there are people that will add Christianity. They already worship in a thousand gods, and they'll just add Christian Jesus, the Christian God, is 1,001. And the missionaries have to be careful to say, no, there's only one God. And you know, sometimes here in America, we wouldn't put it that way. But what we do is we're living an ungodly life. We say, you know, I need to give my heart to Jesus. So we walk the aisle of some church and we say, I'm giving my heart to Jesus. And we have no intention of ever really living much different from the way we've been living. And folks like that probably aren't going to make it to heaven. Probably are not going to make it to heaven. We just can't add Jesus to an ungodly lifestyle. Repentance. John said it. Jesus said it. Peter said it. The writer of Hebrews said it was the foundation principle. And heaven rejoices when somebody repents. And we ought to rejoice every time we see somebody repent and come to Jesus. We ought to rejoice. You just think about it. Think about your own attitude. You know, I'd usually let you out by 12. But what if somebody come down the aisle and said, I want to give my heart to the Lord. And I realized they didn't understand. I said, Brother Jim, would you come down here and explain it to them? And Miss Pam, would you come over here and explain it to this lady? And all of a sudden, it's 12:15. Are you going to be standing back there saying, wow, people are getting saved? Are you going to say, when is this going to be over? I'm ready to go eat. The Methodist already beat me to the restaurant. Heaven's up there saying, hallelujah. Shouldn't we be saying hallelujah with them? Repentance brings joy to heaven. And I think it maybe not the same level of joy when somebody repents and becomes a believer in Jesus. But I think there's also joy in heaven whenever they see me and you as Christians. Realize that we've messed up in a certain area and say, Lord, I repent and I come back to you. I'm thankful that the Bible says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise, no case, cast out. And that's what the Lord's table is all about. And remember, over in the book of Corinthians, where Paul says, folks, as you get ready to take the Lord's Supper, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Anything between you and the Lord? Anything between you and the Lord? Hey, he knows. You remember in the book of Revelation where Jesus is walking among the seven churches? And he says, you tolerate this sin, or you tolerate that sin, or you have lost your first love, whatever. Sometimes we as Christians have to repent of losing our first love. But thank goodness when we come to the Lord, if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. as we come to the Lord's table, examine your heart. Then come partake freely as the Lord forgives you, accepts you, and receives you. If our deacons would come. David, you and I need to. The Bible says the Lord took the bread and he blessed it as he gave it to his disciples. And I'll ask Kenny if he'll bless the bread. Sure.